We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats podcast network. I am Christy Winter-Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim. And Gabe, we are right ahead of the WNBA All-Star Game, but there are a lot of things to talk about ahead of that, especially the games that are going on right now with the Commissioner's Cup, as well as some teams gaining some ground in the WNBA right now.
Yeah, it's been a wild week. I mean, the one thing that we and our listeners care about the most is that the Indiana Fever are still stuck on five wins, baby. Let's go. Come
Darn
on.
It. Oh, I thought I had you at that halftime of that one game. You were sweating some bullets, man. You were like a little nervous.
The Mercury really saved my butt there. A couple times. Thank you to the Mercury and to Tina Charles, who we will talk about, for motivating the Phoenix Mercury. Now all I need is for Seattle to beat Indiana twice and Chicago to win once, and then we're good.
I don't know. Come on, Fever. I thought you were going to bring me on home with that sixth win, that first Phoenix game of that back-to-back game with them. I thought they had them, and I love Phoenix, and this is all in fun. Like, this isn't like, go get Phoenix. This is between Gabe and myself. Okay. So relax yourselves on that. It's not we're not picking a team, like whatever. But this was long standing prior to the season beginning. I said that Indiana could get to six wins before the All-Star break. And if they do that, Gabe's got to go to Berry Farms down in Southeast DC and knock in three consecutive threes.
And for every miss, I have to do a down and back, down and back.
Yeah, down and back, down and back for every miss.
I gotta start running.
Yeah,
I gotta start training.
Just in case, you never know.
But yeah,
catch people up.
That's the one thing that I know we're all keeping our eye on terms of on the court. And there's just, we have to talk about Tina Charles and the All-Star snubs and do the All-Star draft. And all that's so exciting and great, and like we're pumped up for it. We have to get up on the bad news too, because obviously we gotta keep Brittany Griner at the top of our focus. We gotta talk about what's going on with her and trying to keep her in the news and make sure that we keep awareness coming to her. Today we had the start of her trial in Russia. Trials in Russia are not like they are in the US. The justice system is very different. Basically every trial ends up with a guilty plea. It ends up with a conviction. What the court said today was that she had basically 0.7 grams of marijuana in little cartridges. And that's not even a prison sentence in Russia. Even according to their own laws, that would not rise to the level of imprisonment. Right. So it's become very clear this is a political situation, and we will see what happens. There's no news because this was just the first hearing of the trial. Right. So we'll be back for the second hearing on July 7th. So in a week or so, she'll be back there. I'm not an international law expert. I'm not Russian expert. The people who are experts say that she might plead guilty just to move the wheels along. But this is definitely a political situation, which is what we all thought it was in the first place, but it's becoming extremely clear now. And so hopefully there's a resolution that is coming very quickly between the US government and the Russian government to get Brittany Griner home.
It's just so terrifying. Mm-hmm. Like, the details notwithstanding, I mean, I heard what you said, and it's, I mean, the 0.7 grams, and you have the people saying, okay, well, she's been playing over there, she knows the rules, right, but that's not within the rules. So it's really tough to continue to every day wake up to over 130 days of wrongly detaining one of our own in the WNBA with Brittany Griner. And it's just, terrifying just is the word that keeps coming up to me, because, you know, when they had those couple of video clips of her coming down the stairs and she's in handcuffs, and on one of the freeze frames, you know, someone caught her really looking just outside of herself. And the way they're saying that her cell is just so small, mm-hmm. and you know that she's 6'9", and it's just, it's just unfathomable that she's been there since February, and it's unfathomable that, you know, this process is taking so long to get to the bottom of what is actually going to happen moving forward. And whether or not she plays basketball anymore, we're not even talking about that. We're talking about getting her home safely, and for her, hopefully mentally, to be giving herself some grace in this situation where she has zero control. I mean, the whole entire United States right now has zero control of her fate.
Yeah.
Although it seems that way, because she's been there that long and we haven't seen any, you know, resolution on when she will actually be back here. So it's very disconcerting. It's very scary. And it's just, I don't know, it takes your breath away, you know, especially, you know, we've been worrying about her well-being. Mm-hmm. And then to see her well-being not being so well at all, that to me, it's just so sad. It's like, you just hold yourself like here and just pray for her in many ways, not just her physical well-being, which we all know is at the top of the list, but, you know, mentally.
Yeah.
You know, how tough is that? I mean, we're talking about Brittany Griner, who had to leave the WNBA bubble with her peers because of the isolated factor there. And now here she is for months at a time now being wrongfully detained in Russia. It's just, I don't know. It's just disconcerting and terrifying and unfathomable. Those are the words that keep popping up in my head. And it's sad. It's really sad.
Well, it's all of those things. We've said that before. That's the hard part about this is like, we cannot say any, there's nothing more that we can really tell about the situation. Cause like you said, we have no idea what's going to happen. I think the US government probably has a good idea of what's going to happen because they've done these things before. And I'm sure other people who have been around these, what essentially is a hostage situation, understand what's going to happen next more so than us, but we don't. So it's really difficult for us to sit here and say, you know, okay, this is what's going to happen. It's very terrifying and scary. Yeah. And we are just deeply concerned about her. The only thing I want to add though, is like, you know, I've found that there's some people who like want to say, oh, well, she did it. It's like, one, first off, I'm pretty sure if you're like, there's a large percentage of the people in this podcast who have had listening to this podcast right now, who have had at least 0.7 grams of marijuana on them. I can guarantee you that. It's not something that's super illegal. This is not like she wasn't transporting 3 pounds like we've seen other people have in the public eye. We haven't seen, she's not been doing something that's so crazy such as to be illegal into getting imprisoned in 4 months, even by the laws of the country where she's in prison. Right. So I'm sorry. Like I would love to sit here and say it's all going to be okay. I don't know. But the one thing I do want to get across is like, stop trying to blame this. I feel like it's such a reaction for people to just say, well, you put yourself in that situation. We do that. Do this with everything. It's like, oh, you put yourself in that situation.
Right.
Well, first off, no, she probably didn't. I'm sure whatever she was doing coming into Russia is what she's done coming into Russia every single year she's played in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Why has the situation changed? I don't know. Maybe because Russia just is in a war with the Ukraine and needed some political prisoner. Hey, maybe that's the answer. But regardless of whatever is the truth of the situation, I just really want people to stop saying, well, you put yourself in this situation, so you know, whatever. It's like, come on, man. Like, you have to understand that this is clearly a sham trial. She's a hostage and the U.S. is dealing with this as a political prisoner situation. That's what it is. And so I think that response is a response out of fear, because we want to think like, well, we're not going to ever be in that situation. But like Brianna Stewart has said, and everyone who has played in Russia has said, that it could have been any of us. It could have been any of us. And it could have been very easy for any, if it was not marijuana, it would have been something else, you know? Right. And so they just want, it's just terrifying and scary. Mm-hmm. But I've said on this podcast many, many a times, I believe she's going to come home. Hopefully it will be very soon. And I believe that she will, it'll be through political channels in the U.S. State Department, and that's how it's going to have to be handled. I don't really think this trial matters for much other than to have a trial, because that's how the Russians want to handle us.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, that's the only thing I want to get out there. It's just like, stop worrying about what she did or didn't do. This isn't a freaking murder. This isn't, you know, transporting thousands of pounds of cocaine and then getting caught for drug smuggling. This is very clearly a political hostage situation. So it's scary. We're sending our prayers to BG, to her family, to everyone dealing with this case to do as good of a job. And we're sending good vibes to them. But we just have to sit and wait and hope that that she's okay, like you're saying.
No question. And I mean, Gabe, you're a lawyer. And so you understand, like, the laws of each country are different. And we understand that. But the fact that you said at the very beginning of your first statement on here today, you said that it was 0.7 grams, which is under the amount that would get someone arrested.
In the state of Virginia, pretty red state, that's a fine. You don't even go to like court. It's just a fine. And that's in this state. And then also in Russia, pretty much the same situation, although I don't really think they have their laws written down to that level, because they want to do stuff like this to not only U.S. citizens, but other citizens, their own citizens. I'm not sure how their laws are written out, but from people who have studied the situation on Twitter talking about it, it definitely seems like this is just a normal thing that people would walk away from with a fine. And she's been in jail for 4 months.
So, I mean, it's horrible. And just to see her head, like when she was coming down the steps and she had the handcuffs on and she's shaking her head like this, like who knows what they're telling her, what they're saying to her, like, you know, and how distressed she may feel, you know, with the verbiage that's coming her way. And, you know, the phone call that was supposed to go to her wife didn't happen. And that scared me, because I was like, okay, where is she? You know, and I started getting nervous about that. And it's just so much to take on. And, you know, when Phoenix was here in DC, you can tell it's heavy on their spirits, all of them, the coaches and the players as well. I mean, Dawn Staley posts about BG every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's pushing for legislation, you know, to get her back here. Like, we need something in writing on this side to get her here and safely. So it's unnerving. And I know it's heavy on the minds of all the players. I know Courtney Vandersloot played with BG in Russia this past season and left there a day or two before BG left. And so, I mean, you have to look at what they're going through as well, and how Courtney Vandersloot said she's not going to return to play professionally there after being there for years. So, I mean, some players have a lot of big decisions to make, not just in Russia, but just in general, just to make sure you're safe. And I've said before, like, it's, you know, before Creature Comforts, I was over there, and that's scary. You know, that's what my dad said, always have your passport on you, because I didn't know the language that well. And I didn't know the culture. You know, I just wanted to make sure I didn't have any missteps and drugs or whatever aside. I just didn't want to get caught out there and not be able to help myself legally if I had to. And so it's scary times when it comes to that. And, you know, to know that she is just sitting there wrongfully detained and knowing that the U.S. has claimed her to be wrongfully detained. I mean, that just works my nerves. If I'm sitting there knowing that my country is saying I'm wrongfully detained and I'm still sitting over there, I mean, something has to be done swiftly.
Yeah, no, and you hope that it is happening behind the scenes. And, you know, I don't want to disparage, like, the U.S. State Department, because I don't know what they're doing. I don't know how they situate.
Yeah, we don't know. But we know, when they said wrongfully detained, that opened the floodgates for us to be able to discuss it. Because initially her family said that they didn't want it discussed because they didn't want it to become a political thing where she would be in a hostage type situation. And so when the State Department said it's wrongfully detained situation, that changed the game for us and what we can, I don't know, what we can figure from what's happening right now.
Thoughts, vibes, prayers to Brittany Griner and family. Let's move on. Talk about some kind of basketball adjacent stuff. We're going to talk about Tina Charles. Lots happened. She left the Phoenix Mercury. I don't know if they left. They agreed to a contract divorce was the language that was left out there. So she leaves the Phoenix Mercury. Then she signs with Seattle Storm for the rest of the season. And she already played her first game with Seattle Storm. As I mentioned, Phoenix is 2-0 since Tina Charles left. A lot of discussions to be had around this situation. It seems like Tina, there was reports that she wasn't happy with the amount of shots she was getting or something. I don't know if that doesn't line up with the idea of her going to Seattle. So I don't know if that's, like, you know, the reason she left. Certainly it seems like, you know, she didn't want to be on a team that wasn't competing for a championship. And as we just talked about, Brittany Griner is not with the team, and Brittany Griner is what made that team a championship team last year. And she wanted to join that team. With Brittany Griner not there, I think she just kind of looked around and said, well, this team's not going to win championship. I need to get to somewhere that has a chance to. That was the decision that she seemingly made. What are your thoughts?
I was shocked by that whole deal. You know, Tina Charles spent a season here in DC, had a chance to get to know her, not 1,000%. No one knows everyone all the way, but I did have a chance to interact with her. And it's shocking that that would be the move that she would make mid season. And I understand, I mean, even when she came to the Mystics, it was the year after they had won the 2019 championship. And okay, you're not going to go in the bubble. Like, a lot of players chose to opt out because of health reasons, and I understand that. So she didn't get to play with Emma Meesam in that year. Deladon didn't go in the bubble. So she signed the same kind of way. Like, I want to play with ABCD player. That didn't happen in DC. She stuck to her guns, stuck to her contract, played 1 year with the Mystics, was leading the league and scoring and doing everything for Washington. But I don't know if she wanted that much of a role. Like, okay, so in Phoenix, she was, you said maybe it wasn't that she was getting, you know, the shots that she wanted. She didn't get enough shots in Phoenix, but in DC, she got all the shots. Yeah. So, but then she wasn't happy with that either. So I think she's looking for a happy medium and win a ring. Is that Seattle? It has yet to be seen. But for me, the contract divorce verbiage was shocking too. I mean, the move was shocking. I was like, whoa, what? In the middle of the year, Tina's going, what is she doing? And then I was kind of surprised also that she got picked up quickly, and not because of her skill. We know who she is. I mean, she's a former WNBA MVP, won gold medals. Like, we understand that. But I was surprised, like, the process mid-season at this juncture of the season that she could get picked up that fast. And by a team like Seattle, with Ezzy Magbogor really having probably her best season of her career. And now, I mean, are you taking minutes away from her?
No.
You know, trying to find Tina minutes? Like,
no, you're not.
Are you though?
I'm not.
Do you have to?
Well, I don't care. It's like, you can't. So the whole thing with Seattle is like, all right, this was all by the time. And let's say it for what it is. Tina quit on the Phoenix Mercury.
Yeah.
I can't wait figure out a way to parse this in a different manner. She straight up quit on the team. There is a report that she had left the team beforehand, before the contract divorce actually happened. And that's the contract divorce language is just something we use in the WNBA for situations like this. I mean, they didn't waive her, so she didn't have to go through I actually don't know why it was called necessarily contract divorce. That's just a weird verbiage thing that we have.
I think it's the verbiage in the CBA. That's what they said. Like the new CBA had that as the verbiage for that kind of situation. So I was like, okay, but it was still like, whoa, what does that all entail?
It's a fun word. It's a fun verbiage. It's funny. Regardless though, she's straight up quit on team. Like that, if anyone has any information that could refute the idea that she quit on this team, I would love to see it. Cause we would love to see it. Because I don't know how else to say it. But I think the going to Seattle thing, that was probably, she had that in the bag at some point in the season where she started looking around and saying, well, this team can't compete. I mean, you start getting into, you know, talking to Seattle people, see if they want to come. That being said, I don't think they're gonna. Seattle should treat her as they treated Jonta Lavender.
Interesting.
Lavender's a really good player. Another player who got cut from a higher paying contract to come to Seattle to compete for a title. I just think she takes over Lavender's minutes, and that's kind of what happened in the first game. You have 16 minutes for Tina, 8 minutes for Jontel. Obviously, when Mercedes Russell gets back, we're going to have a longer conversation about who gets minutes. If Mercedes, I haven't heard anything about Mercedes Russell's injury, so
I haven't either.
I don't know when she's coming back, but if she comes back, then I think, you know, Tina's going to have even less minutes. So, but for me, if I'm on Seattle, I'm telling Tina, like, you're along for the ride. Oh, I said my thing. You're along for the ride. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're not here to call the shots. You're not here to take the big shots. You're going to play the role that you are given. And if you don't do that, then you know what? You can get off another team. There's always another contract divorce if you want to get out. Because in this game, again, the game that she played against Las Vegas, she comes off the bench for the first time in her career. She plays 16 minutes. And frankly, it was not a good 16 minutes. It was, she went 2 for 8 from the field on offense. Obviously, plus minus is very noisy, so I don't want to put everything on plus minus, but she was -7 in her 16 minutes and the team won by 10. So to me, I was not, as soon as she got into the game as well, the Aces attacked her. So honestly, I could see a situation where Tina Charles is like basically sidelined for the playoffs. And then that's going to be very interesting to see how she reacts. But if I'm Seattle, I'm telling her, like, look, you are here to hang out with us. We don't really need you. If you don't want to be here, if you want more shots, hey, Indiana's there. You know, there's teams at the bottom of the standings. Stop picking over there.
Stop picking on the fever. Go ahead.
But yeah, I don't think she would get that many shots on the Fever, to be honest, because they're pretty packed at the four.
Yeah.
But I just don't. I don't see the Seattle changing what they're doing. You cannot take minutes from Ezzie Magruder. You cannot. She's been an all-star caliber player. We'll talk about her when we talk about her snubs now. But
yeah,
I don't think you can touch anything you're doing for Tina Charles at this point, because frankly, this team really, this is just a luxury for them rather than something that they need.
Do you know that this kind of situation, and I know not the verbiage of it, but the situation of having a former MVP and starter every game of their career, it's really giving Allen Iverson to Denver. Oh,
I like that.
To Detroit vibes. Like, yeah. And Allen, didn't he make some comments like, what starter, like what all-star do you know that's coming off the bench? And what former MVP do you know coming off the bench? Like, I remember that. I don't know what year it was or whatever.
I think it was in Memphis.
Okay. But it really is, it's giving AI. And not that they're the same kind of player or whatever, but, you know, they want to win. Okay, mm-hmm. They want to win a championship, but it's also to me like when you look at a menu online and they have pictures of the food, like the crab legs are like, they look good. They probably spray them down with water and it's like they look really good, succulent. You go to the restaurant and those things are not the same. Like, so I think Tina Charles, when she came to DC, she wanted to play with Deladon, Misamin, Clark, like all these players, and you know, it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
You on the menu said, I would like that, please. And then injuries and bubble and all these things happen and it doesn't present like you thought it would. So same deal in Phoenix. LBG, Diana, Skylar, I'm gonna take that. Let me get that, boom. And you get presented not that. So now you're disgruntled and now you're like, this is not what I ordered. This is not, you know, it doesn't look like
send it back to the kitchen.
Yeah, send it back to the kitchen. Then we're not doing it. But yeah, we're not doing it. But I don't know. It's just, it's giving that. And I understand, yeah, like from that perspective for Tina, I get it, but you can't leave in the middle of the year. Like,
yeah, you know,
you shouldn't. You can because she did it. You can because she did it, but you shouldn't do that, man.
I'm Mr. Player Movement on this podcast, as everyone knows. And even I'm like, you can't leave in the middle of the season. Like, you signed up for the season.
Yeah.
You signed up. And it sucks. But, you know, everyone else is all, like, yeah, everyone else on that team is going through it too. I mean, Skylar and Diana, they certainly not only are, you know, concerned and afraid for their friend and Brittany Griner, but they're also like, well, this is not what we wanted to do this year. Like, we wanted to be better. But they're going to stick it out and continue playing. We have not talked about Skylar calling her current head coach a clown on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that, but we don't have to get into that one. That's another can of worms that we can talk about later. But it's kind of a mess of Phoenix. I understand wanting to leave, but at the same time, man, like this is not that long of a season. Okay. This isn't like an 8 or 9 month commitment. This is like 5 months. I don't know. I get it. I understand that she wants to win a title and that's cool or whatever. I'm as Mr. Player Movement, I think everyone should have the complete freedom to move.
You do have that. You have that.
I say that all the time, but
you respect that.
You gotta finish the season. you gotta go through the year. That's all I think. I mean, you know, hopefully everyone's happy. I hope everyone's happy.
I know, but you have to make sure, like when you do things like that, like the Seattle team, like, and I know she played with Sue at UConn. I get it. She knows these people. I get it. And the Olympics, she's played with Brianna and all the people. However, if I'm in the locker room and I'm invested in the moment with my current team and what we're trying to do, and then here's someone who rolled out in the middle of the season on another team, and then boom, now they're sitting next to me. I'm like, are you good? Right? Like, and how are you going to tell that person, you know, don't complain about what we're doing. Like, you're going to come in and get in where you fit in and you get what you get. You don't get upset. Like, this is our squad kind of thing. I mean, what kind of dynamic is that? And then it's not just disruptive for Phoenix. Okay. It's disruptive for Seattle trying to find a rhythm for her, even though now they've already had their rotation set for half the season. So now here you go, bringing in somebody who is a very talented, skilled player. And you can't say, okay, go sit over there for a minute. We can go ahead and play this game because we already have this all figured out right now. It's like, you know, going back, it's a Friday. So we're going to throw it back to Rubik's Cube. We got all four sides or whatever. All the sides have the solid color. And now here you come twisting and messing it up. Yeah. Like, you just mix it all up. And now we got to start over again with our rhythm and our routine and our chemistry as a group.
I don't think you change. That's what I'm saying. She either fits in or she doesn't. And if you don't want to fit in, then you can sit your butt on the bench or you can get another contract divorce. And that's what it is. Like, that's what I'm telling you. Because, like, look, we don't need you. We've won championships here.
They have all won. Of us.
All won. Every single, well, pretty much every single person here has won a championship.
Yeah.
Like, the leaders of this team have all won championships. We don't need you. You can come along for the ride, but if you want to stop the ride, then you can get off. Like, you don't need to be around. So I don't know. I hope it all works out. Phoenix seems like pumped that Tina Charles is no longer around. They were chanting F, well, not chanting, but Sophie Cunningham was at least chanting F Tina Charles after they beat
the Sophie did that.
Yeah, Sophie did that.
I heard that I saw that on Twitter and I had to turn the volume up and put it all the way up to my ear. I was like, did she really say that? And I think
I'd say it. Come on. You quit on my team in the middle of the season after especially everything that we're going through that you didn't have to go through because you weren't around. The things that we had to go, like, I would be on the same way. Regardless, we could leave Tina Charles. I don't think she's gonna have that big of an impact on the rest of the season. If I had to,
see what happens. That's just a tough mix, like both ways, like for Phoenix and for Seattle. That's a tough mix, you know, right in the middle of the year, just to try to recreate the wheel now with chemistry. As a coach, I would be like, if you're leaving my team in the middle of the season, I'm like, oh snap. And then if you're joining my team in the middle of the season as a coach, I'm like, oh snap. Like, really right now? Anyway, but that's what it is. And we'll see what it looks like in the playoffs.
I do want a couple more games of data to talk about it, but like, I kind of like the small ball fever. It's pretty fun, but we'll get into that in a little bit. I do want to move on to All-Star because we're going to do our All-Star draft, in which my team is going to smoke Christy's team.
I don't think so.
That's what's happening. It's happening. But we're also, I do want to talk about some snubs, because obviously the reserves came out. I'm not going to go through all the reserves. We're going to go through them in the draft. But some big names were left off the list. And I want to just go through some of the ones that I have, see if you have any other names that we should put on the snubs list, and then maybe talk about the one player that we really think should be on there. But I have at least Elena Deladon, Alicia Gray, Chelsea Gray, Ezzy Magbegor, Natasha Cloud, Kelsey Mitchell, and Diana Taurasi. I want to also preface this by saying there's only, 22 spots, right? There's only 22 spots on the team. Very good players who are playing at all-star level are not going to make it. And I understand that.
We get it.
But I kind of have problems with these. So who is the name on this list that really stuck out to you, or the couple of names on this list that really stuck out to you?
Several names. And I'm starting with Natasha Cloud. I just really think that she has played at an all-star level. I just don't know how she's not on the list. And I know when the coaches are game planning, like if I'm coaching against the Mystics, I am game planning for a player like Natasha Cloud, and not just what she's presenting offensively, where she went 4 or 5 from three in her last game. She's a freaking shooter. She's a shooter. But what I love about Natasha Cloud is her unselfish play and the way that she surveys the court and makes plays viable for her team. I mean, she's leading the league in assists, 1/10 of a point away from Vandersloot every other day. So she's 7 assists a game. So regardless of if she's shooting lights out, like 4 or 5 from three, like she just did, but she's setting up her team to do well. And she has sustained this level, right? Of operating in her gift of sharing the basketball. And to me, that's the most disappointing one. And there are several that I have, but that one to me is just astounding that you can't have her as an all-star reserve. Ridiculous. And I'm saying it, and I don't care. And even if I was from not DC area, I would think the same thing.
Right.
But my eyes are on her very frequently in practices. She is a consummate leader too. And just all about the game and all about the team. And that's what you want. I mean, that's what we're celebrating, right? We're celebrating all-stars, and it's all encompassing when you're an all-star. And that's Natasha Cloud. That's who she is. She's a leader, and not just on the court. You see what she does off the court. I mean, she is an all-star, period. And it's frustrating that she didn't get that respect. And I hate when players pour their hearts out and don't earn the respect that they are due. It doesn't make sense to me. It will never make sense to me. And, Elena Deladon too. And I know she's missed some games, but when she's played, she's busted people's foreheads. So let's understand that. Like, she's a problem. You're game planning for her too. Stop playing around. And Diana Taurasi, I don't care. Like, well, she's getting older. She's crushing you when she's playing against you. Give them their respect. Those are my top three right there. And then Kelsey Mitchell is a close third right there with all the three of them. Because what is she doing wrong? I know her team isn't successful right now, but she has been consistently efficient. She's been great.
Yeah, I think Kelsey Mitchell. Well, let me go back to Natasha Cloud.
Bring it on back.
You guys can go back and listen to all the podcasts. And you can read everything I've read. And you can see everything. I love Natasha Cloud. I think she is one of the most important pieces to the Mystics. I think she's a big reason why this team was able to win that 2019 championship and be at this level for years. her development, her leadership, everything that she does for this organization. And we do get to see it more so than everyone else. And I don't want to discount that, because we get to hear about it. We get to see it more. We get to talk to her, and you know, to be around her is really like a gift. And I think it's awesome. It really is. Watch her play is a gift too, on both ends, because she does so much for this team's defense and for their offense.
Boom.
With all that being said, I don't think she's an all-star, because but we look at the guards. Let's look at the guards that are on this team. Sue Bird's on there because it's her last year playing and she's Sue Bird. Okay, that's fine. We're gonna just forget Sue Bird for a second. Okay. I think Kelsey Plum, Jackie Young, Sabrina Ionescu, Skylar Diggins-Smith, all the point, Courtney Vandersloot, those point guards on this list are just having better seasons than her. Just straight up. And they're on
teams. In what way?
Offensively. I mean, there's not a better offensive player in this game right now than Kelsey Plum. At the guard position, there's not a better player offensively. Courtney Vandersloot's having a heck of a year. And you know what the tiebreaker kind of is for all of this? All the players I just mentioned are on teams that are higher in the standings of the Mystics. And to me, here's the bigger issue, right? Is that when you're, like you mentioned, when you're game planning for the Mystics, you are thinking about Natasha Cloud. But you know who you're thinking about first? Is Elena Deladon. And that to me is the biggest snub here, because if Kalia Copper's on your list, she has only played 20 minutes more than Elena Deladon. And Elena Deladon is the best player on this team, point blank period. She's one of the best players in the league, point blank period. She is the player that you are sending doubles and triple teams to. I was talking to some coaches from the Mystics when this came out, and they were like, yeah, for someone who the coaches didn't pick, they sure send a lot of doubles and triple teams her way. And so for me, if Elena Deladon's not on the list, then of course Natasha Cloud cannot be on the list, because she, if we're going on the hierarchy of players that are important to this team's success, it probably goes Elena Deladon, then Ariel Atkins, then Natasha Cloud. Obviously, it all is fluid and it changes every single game, but that's what I would, in my mind, if I'm looking at this from an outsider's perspective as a coach. So if I'm not putting Elena Deladon, then yeah, of course I'm not putting Natasha Cloud. It is crazy to me that Elena Deladon is not on your list. I don't know how you watch her play and don't put her there. I would say Natasha Cloud's playing at that all-star level. I just think this year there's some better choices around. I feel bad for saying that, but I watched a lot of Natasha Cloud. I think she's amazing. But I just think, you know, the other guards are playing better than her. And that goes for Kelsey Mitchell and Diana Taurasi as well. If it was Diana Taurasi's last year, she probably gets in. But that's my only thing with Natasha Cloud, is that she's not. If Elena Deladon's not there, then yeah, of course Natasha Cloud's out there, because those two, I just think it goes together hand in hand. I get why Natasha Cloud's upset, and I think it's totally legitimate. I think everything you said was legitimate. I'm looking at the stats, trying to be objective and seeing that I think those other point guards are just having a bit of a better first half of the season. You know, that's just where I'm at with it.
I hear you, but I almost pulled in all the air into my lungs out of the room when you said that, because I was a surprise. I did not see that coming from and I'm not mad at you, because obviously you're entitled to your own opinion, and I understand, but I don't know why Elena Deladon's fate should be the criteria for what Natasha Cloud has
done. Oh, it's not, but if you don't consider Elena Deladon's a freaking MVP candidate. I don't know how she's not on the list. Like, I don't know how she's there. Yeah. So to me, in my mind, what it must have been is like, well, we just don't care about the Mystics. We don't think they're that good. That's why I'm tying them together.
I got you. Okay.
But also, I think regardless of what Elena Deladon does, I don't think I'd put Natasha Cloud ahead of those players on the reserve list. And it hurts me to say it, because I really love what she does. But I don't think I put her ahead of them. And I think I would even have her behind Chelsea Gray in terms of point guards for this All-Star.
Oh boy. Wow.
But if we're gonna say Natasha Cloud's in, and we're gonna say Elena Deladon's in, and we have all these snubs, who are we taking off? We gotta take someone off.
I mean, what about Sabrina?
I think Sabrina's been amazing. Sabrina's
consistently amazing.
Yes. This year? For this season, for 2022, which is the season we're considering. Yes. Yeah,
consistently amazing.
She has been. She's been consistently the straw that stirs the drink for that team. I think she's coming to her own, and she's really. Right. And regardless, too, it's a different thing where we're considering the starters versus the reserves, because the starters are voted.
Right, they were voted, and I get it. But I'm just saying, like, what's their record though?
They are 8-11.
And what's Washington's record?
Washington is 13-9. But again, but Sabrina is the reason why that team has 8 wins in the large part. And I think them getting 2 All-Stars, and Natasha Howard has been a little bit less consistent to me. I get it. I get why she was on there. But I just think, to me, it's just like, I think the Mystics should have at least 2 players, and one of them should be Elena Deladon, and the other should at least be Ariel Atkins before we can even talk about anyone else on this roster, because those two have driven this team. But yeah, I think Sabrina Ionescu has been better than her. I think Jewel Loy, maybe there's a really good argument for Jewel Loy versus Natasha Cloud. I think Arike Gumpawale versus Natasha Cloud, that's an interesting decision. I think Kalia Copper, as I alluded to, I'm not sure she's played enough. Those two would be an interesting decision. I think pretty much everyone else, though, is kind of just ahead of her this year.
Listen, when we're talking about teams that are doing better, 13 is more than 8, you know.
But Sabrina's playing better than Natasha.
I have my degree, and it wasn't in math, but I know that. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. Like, if we're saying carrying a team and being efficiently consistent, where Cloud is like, you know, 1 or 2 an assist all season long,
but she's also shooting 28% from 3.
But the team is better because she helps the team in other ways than getting a bucket. And
I understand.
So it does not lessen her value because she sets the table for people to eat. She sets the table for people to eat, and the team has won 5 more games. That's why I said Sabrina should be the one to take off. When you said who to take off, I'm like, boom, take off Sabrina. Because if we're going NBA, Bradley Beal a couple of years ago was like one of the top leaders in scoring. He was a full bucket, but the team didn't do well at that halfway point of the season, and he didn't make the All-Star team. And people were poo-pooing, and oh my God, why didn't Bradley Beal get on it? He's a flat-out bucket. Team wasn't doing well. So now we're talking about, well, Sabrina's doing really well, but her team has 5 less wins than Washington. And Natasha Cloud is setting the table on a consistent basis with assists. So she's a better All-Star. When we're talking about the word all, I'm talking A-L-L, everything, not just your bucket getting ability. We're talking about her defensive prowess too, because if we throw that in the mix, and I love Sabrina, she is an incredible talent, but if we throw that, we're looking at both of those players. Natasha Cloud is a flat out dog on defense, and you can't tell me she's not. Okay. Oh, so she wins in the assist category, she wins on the defensive category, she wins on the reading the floor category. There you go under, she's getting a bucket like she did last
week. That's not true.
She was
4 or 5 from 3 for 1 game for the rest of the season. She's shooting 31%. She's shooting 31%.
That's not good. That's not 15 or whatever, 20%.
Because she had that big game. She's 28 for 89 from 3. She hasn't, the shooting's not there, certainly. That's not the only thing.
Get me a stop. I want a player, if I'm coaching, I want you to get me a stop before I want you to get me a bucket. Do I want you to get me a bucket? Absolutely. But if you can't get me a stop too, no. Get me a flat out stop.
I just think Sabrina's been better. I straight up, I think Sabrina's been better. Also, she got voted in. So we can't, it's another thing that, that's the other thing is like, she got voted in. So we can't sit here and knock it because, you know, Elena Deladon should have been voted in, and it's like we can't take someone off there. But I think Sabrina's been better straight up. I think Natasha's been really great. I think Kalia Copper shouldn't be on there, frankly. I don't think, and for Elena Deladon, I have to say someone that I want to take off for Elena Deladon, I'm taking off De'Erica Hamby. I don't think Hamby's been nearly as impactful as Elena Deladon in her minutes. It's just not true. And if you're gonna put Copper on there, then you don't care about how many games everyone's playing, you don't care how many minutes everyone's played. So right. Put on the best player in the world. Like, how is that? That's maddening. Yeah,
that's frustrating. Yeah, I don't get that either.
But who else did I want on here? I think Alicia Gray should be on here. I don't know what more Alicia Gray could do. Sure.
Yeah, I don't either.
She's straight up been, she's been better than Arike Gumpawale this year.
Yeah,
straight up in across the board, the scoring numbers, as you mentioned, scoring is not everything. If you watch the games, the person who's most responsible for that team's success when they succeed is Alicia Gray.
That's true. She's the X factor for them, and they don't talk about her enough. She's one of the players who you know when she's not on the floor. Like, you feel her presence when she's there, and you feel it when she's not. And that's how you gauge who's impactful and who's not. And she has been incredible for Dallas, to say the least. I mean, yeah, I'm waving my pom-pom for her, because I don't understand why she's not getting more love. Like another, you know, unheralded, you know, player in the league who is consistent every night and who coaches scout against. You have to, like, you got to know about her.
Yeah.
Or she's going to kill you. Yeah.
And the other thing on Natasha too, and this is what I'll say for the coaches. They're thinking, I think if I was a coach, and I don't even know if the coaches actually fill this out. But if I'm a coach, I'm thinking about the players I have to game plan for pretty much every night. So the players that are in my mind every night, those are the players I'm probably game planning for. So that's why Natasha Cloud's defensive abilities may have been overlooked in this situation.
Yes.
And because if you're a coach, you're not really thinking like, well, how do we beat, you know, this player on defense? You're thinking about how we stop this player on offense, I think, right? Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say, but you also know that Natasha Cloud is going to sniff out every read. She's going to sniff out the ball screen actions. She's going to be communicative. If she's not in that ball screen action, she is in tune with her teammates and where they need to be on defense. So it's not just about her. So I think she is just a pivotal piece for the Mystics' success. And, you know, especially on the defensive side, when they have jumped up the rankings on that side of the court this year. And it's because of her. And it's because of her ability to lead.
If she's not on all defense this year, we're rioting. That one's all-star, whatever. I get all-star has a bunch of different things. That's fine. Whatever. All defense, absolutely. There's no argument that she is not there on first team or second team. I mean, honestly, I don't see a guard in the league, a point guard at the point guard position. I don't think there's a guard. I don't think there's a player better than her on defense.
No.
In my humble opinion.
No.
So if she's not on defense, be riot. But I think for the all-star, I get it. I hope I did upset her. She's great when she's upset.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Someone play this for
her. I was surprised by that from you, but I'm not mad at you. I mean, we're still play cousins and everything. But I was surprised by that.
I'm trying to be objective and be honest. Let's get into our All-Star draft, because we're running late on time. All right. Okay. So WNBA All-Star selection show is tomorrow at 3 p.m. on ESPN. The way this whole thing is going to work is Asia Wilson and Sue Bird will be team captains for one team. Brianna Stewart and Sylvia Fells will be team captains for the other team. They'll be picking from the starters first, then from the bench. The way we're going to do it is we're drafting everybody. So I have a coin here. It's a coin of my buddy. So we're going to flip it, and we're going to pick from team captains first, then the starters, then the bench, and then the coaches.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So we're going through it. All right. I'll remind everyone who's available at all times.
Okay, good. All right. We can do it.
All right. So this is going to be heads. This is Xander, and then this will be tails. So call it in the air.
Am I calling it?
You're calling it.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Tails. No, that did flip.
Oh, you did. Tails.
All right. You're just going to call tails. All right. Flip it. That didn't flip either. How many flips
do you have to go
flip? I don't know how to flip it. Oh, there we go. It flipped.
You got
to
do it with your thumb, dude.
All right. Flip.
Oh, okay.
You said tails?
Tails.
It is heads.
Hey, you had some.
I didn't do it. I'm going to do it again. I'll do it again. All right. Let's do it again.
Okay. Do it again. Heads.
Heads?
Yeah.
All right. Chrissy gets a pick first because she rigged the system. All right. Pick your captains.
You're doing magic tricks over there, man. Come on now.
Okay. Pick your captains.
Okay.
You have Asia and Sue, or Brianna and Syl?
I'm going with Asia.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going with the Asia group. Asia and Sue, you said. Yeah.
Yes. So and the other thing.
Syl and Brianna. You have a new Apple Watch.
I did. I got a new phone today. So I got a new Apple Watch too. Okay. If T-Mobile has great deals, guys, that's neither here nor there. Okay. So I will take Brianna and Syl, and then we're going to do snake. Did I mention that we're going to do snake draft? So one, so it goes first pick, second pick, then the person who has a second pick has a third pick. And I'll tell you.
Just talk to me along the way. Hold my hand and drag me down the brick road, man.
So Breanna Stewart and Sylvia Fowles.
Okay.
The first pick of the starters. We get Gabe's team.
Okay.
I think I need guards because I have two centers right now. And I'm going with Kelsey Plum. Kelsey Plum has been one of my favorite players to watch this year. I think she's been just electric when she has the ball. I think she can do so much, especially in an all-star game setting. I think she's gonna be super fun. And I'm going with Kelsey Plum. We're gonna get the guards in here with my bigs. So now you get the next, because I just had to set. Yeah, you get the next two picks.
Two. All right. I'm going with Jackie Young.
Okay.
And
just to remind everyone, the players we have left in the starters are Jonquel Jones, Nneka Ogumike, Candace Parker, and Sabrina Ionescu.
Candace Parker.
Dang.
Okay. Thanks for the reminder of the list. I had those. I had all the names jumbled and then you organized them for me. So that was perfect.
Okay. So there's one other guard on this list. And I feel like I should just take the guard because I'm fine with either of the bigs. Although obviously I think I would rather have Jonquel Jones. I'm going to go with Sabrina after defending her in the last segment. I'm going with Sabrina to be my kind of, we have two off-ball guards now. So, two players that kind of play off-ball, but they also play on the ball. And I think it's going to work out really well with Sabrina and Kelsey in my backcourt. So now you got, I have another pick.
Oh, you have another one.
Oh, okay. So it didn't matter who I went with. Okay. I'm going to go with Jonquel Jones.
Dang it.
She's the MVP.
I was getting ready to go with all the big guards.
It's a shame that Jonquel Jones fell to fifth here among our picks, but I think that's not a statement on her value. It's more so a statement on what we needed because of our team builds.
Position wise. So I get two now.
Well, you get Nneka Ogumike. You have to.
Okay. Yeah. So it's the reunion of Parker and Ogumike.
Yeah, be crazy if those two were on the same team in real life, right?
I like it. The reunion.
All right.
2.0. I like it.
So here's our starters so far for our teams. For Christy, we got Asia Wilson, Sue Bird, Jackie Young, Nneka Ogumike, and Candace Parker.
Ooh, I like it.
It's a pretty good team.
I like that.
I really like my team. I have Kelsey Plum, Sabrina Ionescu. I have Jonquel Jones, Breanna Stewart, and Sylvia Fowles. So Breanna Stewart's my three.
Yeah, I pull her off. Yeah.
So Breanna Stewart's my small forward in this situation. Okay, yeah. So now let's move to the bench. You have first pick here, and then I have the next pick. So to remind everyone who the reserves are, there's a lot of people on this list.
Yeah.
There's Alyssa Thomas, Brianna Jones, De'Erica Hamby, Skylar Diggins-Smith, Ariel Atkins, Kalia Copper, Natasha Howard, Ryan Howard, Emma Mieseman, Arike Ogunbowale, Courtney Vandersloot, and Jewel Loyd. So you got the first pick.
I get the first pick. I'm going to go with Skylar Diggins-Smith.
Skylar Diggins-Smith.
She's just flat out fierce taking her.
Well, she should have been a starter.
Yeah.
She wasn't a starter because people were hating.
I know.
But
just so lame. I don't get it. I don't like it.
I don't like it either, but she goes to Christy with the seventh overall pick, first pick of the reserves. Now, I got two picks here. I'm trying to think of what my team needs. We desperately need a small forward because, again, right now, Breanna Stewart is my small forward. So if you want to have an actual small forward, we probably should get that now. That being said, who am I going with here? Who do I think is the most fun? You know what? I'm going with Courtney Vandersloot.
Okay.
I think Courtney is going to fit into everything that we're doing. She makes it pretty easy on everyone. I think she's going to be really fun on an all-star game. So I'm going with Courtney Vandersloot. And now
you have another one.
So I have my point guard situation kind of locked up. I could go with Ryan Howard. That'd be fun. That'd be really fun. But I think I'm going to take someone that you want.
Oh no.
I've taken Alyssa Thomas.
Dang it.
The A train.
No, I want an AT, man. I wanted baby Braun.
I knew. Oh. I was like, you know, who's Christy going to take? Let me take them.
Yeah. Right. I was trying to sit quietly and wait. I was like, he's not going to take AT. He's not going to take. Okay, you took her. You got her. You got her.
Oh. That's all right. Now it's your second reserve pick.
Okay. Oh, let's see. We have Sue already. And Chelsea Gray is still a selection that I can go with.
Chelsea Gray's not, she's not an all-star.
She didn't. She was a snubber.
Okay. She's a snubber. Yeah.
She got snubbed. What a killer. Okay. let me see it on the top of my head. We probably need. I mean, we have Wilson down there, and you know, we have Candace down in there. I'm going with Ariel Atkins.
Good. I like that.
Yeah. Get some defense. You know, I was talking about defense and all being important and everything.
Yeah. That was a kind of another reason with Alyssa Thomas. Like, if we were playing this as an actual game.
Yeah.
And I don't do it. What are we doing this year? I don't know the format because I really love the NBA's format. I think it's like super fun, right?
Yeah. Every quarter. Right.
Every quarter. I wonder if they're going to do, I don't know what they're doing. I haven't heard anything about the All-Star game format, but I would love to see the Elam ending because I think these teams would be really competitive with each other, especially Skylar Diggins-Smith. I think she's going to try to take off heads.
that's why I picked her.
Right? It's like, I think she's very mad. I'm with you there. I'm sorry. I'm moving around. I have a graphic for this. So I'm trying to visualize who you got. So you have, all right, you have two reserves and I have two reserves. Oh, no, you go one more time.
I have one more. Here, yeah, run down who's left really quick. I have ideas, but let me just make sure I don't.
So the players left are Breonna Jones, De'Erica Hamby, Kalia Copper, Natasha Howard, Ryan Howard, Emma Mieseman, Arika Gumbawale, and Jewel Lloyd.
I'm going with Copper.
Going with Copper?
Yep.
That'll be fun. Transition nightmare.
Push. Yeah, let's go.
Finals MVP.
Yeah.
I love it.
She's ready. She's ready. We're going.
All right.
Let's go, Kyle. Yeah.
I like the way your team's setting up. It looks nice.
It's nice. Got the fighters.
Indeed.
I got the nails. I got the nails popping team.
So I'm trying to think. So I don't know if I need any more bigs. I have a lot of bigs. I'm basically the current Connecticut Sun roster. Like almost the same distribution. I have two of their players.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry to Breonna Jones. I'm not going to Breonna Jones. I don't think I'm going to go with the big. I want a guard. I have buckets at the moment. I kind of want to get someone that can do a little bit of everything. So I'm going with Jewel Lloyd. Got her again.
That was my second. I was going to get that one next. I was going to get that next.
And now I have another. I have another pick. I do. I could use a. I mean, like I just said, I don't need bigs, but obviously, I'm going to have to take a big.
Yeah.
At some point. And I'm looking around. And
don't you do it, Gabe? And you're already
gonna do it. I already know. Well, I don't know if you're gonna go with the Mystics connection or the Maryland connection, but I think I'm going with Emma Mieseman because
dang it. Okay, go ahead. I was both on my chair now. You took all three of the ones I had. Okay.
I'll go with Emma Mieseman because I think her passing's amazing. I think she's having a tremendous season. I think she's been awesome. She's been one of the biggest reasons why Chicago is where they are at. Probably Chicago didn't deserve four All-Stars, but I'm glad Emma made it because she deserves to be one. And I'm glad that she's on my team and she's going to be throwing passes around to the rest of these bigs. And I have a squad. I'm really excited. I love
this. That's the squad with me. See, I was going to get Emma. Mm-hmm. And Jewel and AT, but that's okay. I'm gonna give you those. I'm gonna go with the quiet. Yeah,
let me reset.
Reset us. Okay.
Breonna Jones, De'Erica Hamby, Natasha Howard, Ryan Howard, and Arika Gumbawale are left. You get two picks.
I get two?
Yeah, you get the next two. I think. Yeah, that seems right. Yes.
I'm going with Arika.
Okay.
Yeah, because she's a flat out flat out Stone Cold. And then I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Breonna Jones.
All right.
I'm taking her because she shoots almost 60% from the floor. Or maybe it's right over 60. I haven't looked today. Isn't she like 59? Is she 61? Something like that.
Something ridiculous. Some Sylvia Fowles level.
She doesn't miss. So, you know, we need stability on high percentage shots. So, boom. And then Arike, we need stability on low percentage shots that she makes all the time. Like hand in the face, step backs. I mean, that's low percentage for most people, but not her. I'm taking Arike.
Arike Gumbawale. Okay, so Arike and
Breonna Jones.
And Breonna Jones. Okay, so that's your 15th pick. Okay, so, all right. How many players do we have here? Let me make sure I didn't mess this up. So we have Hamby, Howard, Ryan Howard. All right, we have three, and we're good. Okay, we're good. So I have two picks, and you have the last pick. So you're just
okay.
You get whoever. Whoever's left. Yeah, you got first pick of the coaches. I don't know. I mean, like, I could use some shooting, kind of, in a way, especially on my bench. I think I need shooting more than I need another big. So I'm gonna go with Ryan Howard first. The rookie. Interesting that we were just both in on her being an all-star. And I think that's right, because she is. She's totally there. And then I'm going with De'Arica Hamby as well. Because, well, she's another big. She can kind of space the floor. And, yeah, I think she's just – I want her a little bit more. I want what she brings more than Natasha Howard's, I think. I don't know. But you get Natasha Howard.
I have Howard. I have Natasha Howard. I'll take her. And that's no slight. She's tough. No. And, you know, she can board and, you know, she can get to the rim. I like it.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't imagine De'Arica Hamby is going to stay there that long with her teammate being the picker.
that's true, too.
Just going to throw that out there. I must have messed this up at some point. Yeah, I did. Okay, never mind. We're good. I have a little sheet here where I'm keeping track of everything. You get first pick of the coaches. Who's your coach?
Oh, boy.
You get James Wade or Becky Hammon?
I'm going with Becky Hammon.
Becky Hammon. It's a pretty good pick, in my opinion.
She's going to let it go. She's going to let them, you know, let those threes fly, a little free-flowing offense, but they're going to be sticklers on defense. And Asia, you know, she knows Asia well, and she'll set her up.
I will go James Wade, but I want this very strictly coached. We're only running set plays, no flow. This is like 1950s Kansas basketball. No, I'm kidding. Coaches don't do anything. Do as little as possible. Yeah. Sit on the sidelines and have some fun. So let's go over who our teams are after this draft. I got Sabrina. Okay. Kelsey Plum, Sylvia Fowles, Jonquel Jones, and Breonna Stewart as my starters.
Okay.
On my reserves, I have Courtney Vandersloot, Alyssa Thomas,
Jewel
Lloyd. Dang it. I have Emma Mieseman, Ryan Howard, and De'Arica Hamby.
All right.
That's my team. I like my team.
I like your team. But I love my team.
I mean, these teams are just full of all-stars. You know, it's crazy. We got Sue Bird and Jackie Young, Asia Wilson, Candace Parker, and Nneka Egumike. That is an awesome
front. That right there is tough.
That's a really fun
front. Good luck. Good luck on that team, with that team. Yeah.
That's a really fun front. All right. There we got on your bench, you have Skylar Diggins-Smith, who's been one of the best players in the league this year.
Crushing.
Ariel Atkins, Kalia Copper, Natasha Howard, Breonna Jones, and Arike Ogunbowale.
I love my team. They're going to cut you deep.
So if we were playing in a real...
They're going to cut you. What?
If we were playing in a real game...
Yeah.
I wonder. I don't know. I mean, because we have... So we're attacking Sue Bird. If we're playing a real game, Sue is in every pick and roll. Not because she's I'll take my chance.
She's going to have some help. Isn't she going to have Ariel and Arike and everybody else rotating over Jackie? Oh, yeah. I think they're all going to be there.
But they can't rotate. You can't rotate over on this team. Who are you going to rotate off of
in this game? Because Becky Hammon is going to say, you better rotate or you come in. They're going to rotate.
I'm very confident in my bench, although you definitely have the best player on the bench.
Yeah.
In Skylar Diggins-Smith.
Guy. Yeah. It's my girl, man. Yeah.
That's the game changer, right? Because if we were playing in a real game, again, this is not a real game. If we're playing in a real game, Skylar's probably playing at the end of the game over Sue Bird. And then we have big problems.
Yeah.
We have really big problems. And you have an act. But on the flip side, listen to this lineup that I could throw out there. And it's really awesome. All right. So I can throw, let's see who I want here. I have Kelsey Plum, Sabrina or Jewel Lloyd, whoever you want at the two. I have Alyssa Thomas at the three, but really playing point guard with Jonquel Jones and Breanna Stewart. We're going all five out spacing.
Oh, and yeah.
AT getting downhill. It's good. It'll be nasty. It'll be nasty to you.
My girl. Ooh, yeah. That's a tough cover.
Yeah. I guess you throw. I guess you throw Jackie Young on her. Jackie Young's pretty very strong.
Just to be disruptive. Yeah, she can disrupt you now. She'll get up underneath of you. Yeah, you can feel her. Yeah, she can. She can mess you up.
So I think my team would win. Seven game series of real games.
Close. I think it would be very close. Is there like some calculation on herhoopstats.com that we can like throw all those players together and like see statistically what would truly happen if those two teams played?
We could probably do it in 2K. You could probably do it in 2K.
Let's see.
I'm gonna put I have this graphic of our rosters here. I'm gonna tweet it. I hope y'all can let us know who you think. Who you think will win this game. I like my team a lot. I like my team a lot. It's like there's all stars. And apologies to Natasha Cloud.
I know. I don't like that she's not on there. And DT, come on, man. Where's Diana Taurasi at? Come on.
Yeah, if we had, that's who I really want. I'd really love to have Elena Deladon coming off my bench. But
I mean, coming off the bench, like just
I do have Emma Mieseman though, which like you know, as we saw with the Mystics. If you don't have Elena Deladon, having Emma Mieseman's a pretty nice a consolation prize.
Yeah, tool in the toolbox. You want to bring that out. Ooh, wee. She's got them. She can
So we'll see the actual selections tomorrow. And then the following weekend is All-Star.
That's going to be fun.
We'll be hanging out. I don't know what we're going to do next week. We've been talking about All-Star for like three straight weeks. So I don't know. Probably talk about actual games.
Yeah.
Oh, we can do power. We haven't done power rankings in a very long time.
We have to do that because it's, you know, that's what I said at the beginning. Like there have been so many teams who have gained some ground here and picked up some really strong momentum. I mean, LA being one of those teams, I think that has really picked up some momentum. Mm-hmm. Washington let a couple games out west trip them up, like got right at home against Atlanta. And beat the Aces as well. Yep. And I think, you know, when you have those wins, you can kind of stockpile confidence along with those victories, especially those close games where you have to grind it out and grit out some wins, especially on the defensive end. I think those teams have been able to do that. So I think power rankings will be really intriguing to do next time.
We'll do it next time. Hopefully, let's go Storm. Need a couple more wins. Keep me out of Berry Farms, Sue.
And we're going Brianna, to Berry Farms. Man.
And Jewel and Ezzy. Ezzy, remember, you're an all-star snub. Be mad about that, please, for my sake.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
So I think this is a fun exercise, though. I think we learned a little something about how I value these players, because I didn't really think I had this. I don't know where I was going with it before I started, but I had fun, and I think that's all I got on the docket.
Oh, that's all I have too. And I just wanted to, before they cut the lights off, I see them walking over to the light switch, but Gabe, I had to shut the lights off today at South High School. We had our summer camp. I have my shirt on here. I see it. I'll save you one. I can bring you one.
Yay, I would love one.
South Lakes Girls Basketball Camp. And, you know, the community is always so gracious, and all the parents and, you know, the kids were just very special and sweet. A lot of alumni stopped by this week at South Lakes. Shout out Tia Benvenuti, Caitlin Jensen, Aaliyah, McKenzie, Margo. Oh my gosh. And my daughter Bree came by today with Margo. They were teammates. And, you know, it was just really sweet to see. They didn't know that they were going to be there, that each other were going to be there. And they saw each other and, you know, it was, they ran fast to each other, but in my head, it was like slow motion, like a movie in the airport when you see somebody and a big hug. And that's what South Lakes basketball is all about. So just shout out to South Lakes and all of the little campers and all their little sweet little faces. And, you know, they said, usually every day we say girl power on three before we leave. And every day we have something new. I let them cheer and do something. And then one was slay the day on three. We did that. And it was like, awesome. And then today I was like, hey guys, what are we going to say today? And Gabe, they said, we love you, Coach Scott, on three. And I was just a hot mess express like I am right now, but super sweet. And, you know, it was just great to see. That's why we have the flower on here, to grow in the game and grow in life. And, you know, the seeds were planted and I'm thoroughly thrilled for the futures of every Seahawk that comes along after today. So, yeah, had to shut the door and cut the lights out. Just like we're doing now here, this edition of Courtside with Christy and Gabe. We don't have to go home, but we do have to get up out of here. And we'll bring you more WNBA action next time and some power rankings, I think we said we were going to do. But for Gabe Ibrahim, I'm Christy Winter Scott on Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. Thank you guys so much for listening, and make sure you let us know who you think will win between our two all-star teams.
We love you, Coach Scott.
Oh.